Clinical trials are full of people doing their best inside systems that are getting more complex every year. Protocols are more demanding, timelines are tighter, technology is multiplying, sites are stretched, and sponsors and CROs are under pressure to move faster and perform better. And yet, when something goes wrong, we often explain it as an operational problem. Enrollment was slow, data entry was delayed, protocol deviations increased, or a site was not ready. But what if many of those operational problems have a common root cause? What if the people responsible for executing the trial are simply not adequately prepared, supported, confident, calibrated, or protected from friction? That is the question behind this series. Welcome to The Human Side of Clinical Trials, a new podcast series from Applied Clinical Trials. I'm Dr. Brian McGowan. I'm a fellow of the Alliance for Continuing Education in the Health Professions, and for more than 25 years, I have explored how research from cognitive, learning, and behavioral science can improve healthcare delivery and quality. And for the past 2 years, I've authored a column in Applied Clinical Trials that introduces this science within the context of clinical research. In this podcast series, we'll explore how clinical trials are shaped not only by protocols and systems, but also by how the people executing the trial think, learn, decide, behave, and perform under real-world conditions. This first episode is our introduction. We'll talk about why the series exists, what problems it can help us address, what I mean by the human side, as well as what listeners can expect to take away and where we go next. I also want this to feel less like a lecture and more like a working conversation. So as we go, I'll invite you to consider where your organization may be assuming human readiness instead of building it. And in each episode, I'll be joined by expert hosts and guests from across clinical operations and from adjacent fields to add much needed perspective and experiences that we can all learn from. But let's start with the problem. Clinical research teams are surrounded by signals, dashboards, milestones, enrollment numbers, monitoring reports, deviation logs, training completion records, and issue trackers. But even with all of that, teams still get surprised. A site looks ready, but struggled after activation. A team completed training, but still misunderstood a protocol requirement. A timeline looked reasonable until reality intervened. And a workflow looks simple on paper, but turned out to be full of friction. So where does this gap appear? Often it appears when teams assume that because something's been communicated, it's been understood. Or because training has been completed, people are ready. Or because a process has been documented, it will be easy to follow. But sites and teams operate in high-pressure environments. They are managing competing priorities, complex protocols, multiple technologies, and constant change. The gap is rarely effort. The gap is readiness. That distinction matters. In clinical research, we often treat readiness as an administrative milestone. Did the site attend training? Did the staff complete the module? Did they pass the assessment? Did the SIV happen? Those are necessary signals, but they're not the same as readiness. Clinical trials still rely too heavily on check-the-box training and lagging indicators. We often discover the human problem only after it's already become an operational problem. So this series starts with a simple premise. If clinical trials depend on human performance, then we need better ways to understand, support, and measure human readiness to perform before the problems show up in the data. When I say the human side of clinical trials, I'm not talking about being vague or soft or sentimental. I'm talking about a practical scientific lens. The human side is where learning science, cognitive science, and behavioral science meet clinical trial execution. Learning science asks, what do people need to understand, remember, and apply? Cognitive science asks, how do people make decisions under uncertainty, pressure, and cognitive load? Behavioral science asks, how do we design systems and environments that make the right actions easier and the wrong actions less likely? Consider a site team that misunderstands eligibility criteria. That is not only a knowledge issue, it may be a training design issue, it may be a workflow issue, it may be a confidence calibration issue, it may be that the right decision support was not available at the moment the decision had to be made. One of the central arguments of the column, and now this podcast, is that knowing does not equal doing. Clinical trials often depend on people doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, across many sites and roles under imperfect conditions. This is a human performance challenge. And when we treat human performance as something we can design for, we can ask better questions earlier. Not just, did we train them, but can they apply the protocol? Not just, did we tell them what changed, but can they recognize what the amendment changes in their daily work? Not just, did we give them tools, but are their tools reducing friction or adding more? This is the big picture. The human side of clinical trials is about moving from assumptions to evidence, from exposure to readiness, and from hindsight to effective foresight. One reason this matters now is that trial teams are operating in an increasingly complex world. Protocol complexity, technology burden, staffing pressure, and competition for participants all makes execution harder. At the same time, many teams are trying to move faster. That creates a real tension. We want speed, but speed without readiness can create rework. When pressures rise, the natural response is often to compress preparation. We shorten training. We push information out faster. We assume that if people need something, they'll find it. This creates the illusion of progress, and that illusion can be expensive. If people are not ready at activation, the trial may start, but the risk moves downstream. It may show up as delays, deviations, recruitment challenges, data quality issues, or avoidable site burden. This is where the concept of leading indicators becomes so important. Many of the measures clinical research teams rely on are lagging indicators. They tell us what already happened. Protocol deviations already happened. Enrollment is already behind. Data is already late. Sites are already struggling. But human readiness can be measured earlier, and earlier matters. If we can identify confusion, false confidence, friction, or lack of mastery during training or startup, we still have time to intervene. That is an incredible opportunity, not more surveillance for its own sake, but better support at the point where support can change the trajectory. The human side of clinical trials is not soft. It's measurable, predictive, and actionable. Let's make this practical. If you listen to the whole series, what should change in how you think or work? I hope you start seeing familiar trial challenges differently. When a team says the site did not follow a process, I hope you ask, was the process easy to follow? When someone says we already trained them, I hope you ask, how do we know they were ready? When a dashboard metric turns red, I hope you ask, what earlier human signals did we miss? That is a mindset shift. Listeners should come away with better diagnostic questions. Here's a few more. Where are we assuming understanding? Where are we confusing completion with competence? Where might people be confidently wrong? Where have we added unnecessary friction? Where are we asking people to rely on memory when the system could provide support? Where are we measuring too late? I also hope you walk away with practical strategies. This series is not just about naming problems. It's about making better decisions. Listeners should be able to improve training, simplify workflows, reduce avoidable burden, support sites more effectively, and identify risks earlier. By the end of the series, my hope is that listeners can apply three habits. First, diagnose trial challenges through a human performance lens. Second, design interventions that make desired behaviors easier. Third, measure readiness before performance breaks down. Importantly, this is useful whether you work for a sponsor, CRO, site, technology company, or service provider. Everyone in the trial ecosystem depends on people being able to do complex work well. Before we go, let me share a little bit more about where this series comes from. As mentioned earlier, for the past 2 years, I've been writing a column for Applied Clinical Trials focused on the science of thinking, learning, and behavior in clinical research. That column began with a concern that many clinical trial challenges were being treated as operational issues when they were also change management and human performance issues. My own work, both in large pharma and small biotechs, has long focused on how adults and clinicians learn, change, and perform. This research led me to co-found Archimedics in 2012 and to launch the Ready platform in 2019. Ready leverages what we know about cognition, learning, and behavioral science to create learning experiences that are often 4 to 6 times more effective than traditional training and to deliver a predictive measure of readiness. Today, the Ready platform has been adopted across the life science ecosystem, including pharma, biotechs, medical associations, health systems, CROs, and clinical trial sites around the world. Clinical trials are a fascinating and an important application of this science because the stakes are so high, the systems are complex, and the people involved are deeply committed to doing good work. But this series cannot live only in academic science. It must respect the operational realities of clinical research. Again, it does not say people are the problem. It says people are the pathway. The question is how we must design trials, training, systems, and support in ways that help people succeed. The science matters, but the translation matters just as much. An idea is only useful if it helps real teams make better choices in real trials. The column gave me a place to introduce these ideas. The podcast gives me room to make them more conversational and concrete. I can unpack examples, challenge common assumptions, and talk through what these concepts look like in practice. For listeners who have followed the column, the series will feel familiar but more applied. For listeners who are new to the column, I hope this first episode is an orientation. Each episode will take on a specific trial challenge and look at it through the human lens. We might talk about why training often fails to produce readiness, or how overconfidence creates risk, how sludge, the unnecessary friction in systems, slows down sites and study teams, or how the planning fallacy affects trial timelines. We will also talk about concepts like desirable difficulties, fresh starts, confidence calibration, decision support, behavior change, participant adherence, and readiness as a leading indicator. But the structure will stay practical. Each episode will usually start with a special guest exploring a real trial problem. Then I, along with my co-host, Kelly Rich, a colleague at Archimedics and one of the most experienced and brilliant clinical operation experts I've ever met, will introduce the science underpinning the problem and the best practices that clinical research teams should adopt and embrace. The goal is not to make everyone a behavioral or cognitive scientist. The goal is to help trial professionals use better science to make better decisions. A good episode should leave you with at least one question you can ask in your next planning meeting, training design discussions, site activation reviews, or risk assessments. That is the test for every episode. So what's next? In upcoming episodes, we will begin with one of the most common and costly assumptions in clinical trials, that knowing equals doing. We will explore why giving people information is not the same as preparing them to act, and why training completion can create a dangerous illusion of readiness. And we'll talk about how teams can begin designing for application, confidence, and performance from the start. Until then, here's a question I invite you to ask inside your organizations. Where are we assuming human and team readiness when we should be building it, measuring it, we're supporting it? That question may reveal more than another dashboard ever could. Thank you for joining me for the first episode of The Human Side of Clinical Trials. I'm glad you're here, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.